Good morning. Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Yes. It is so good to be here with you today and enjoying the presence and the goodness of God. Always love being at Three Trees. It's a church on the move. The hand of God is on you. The hand of the Lord is on your pastor. The fruit of the Spirit of God is all over this ministry. And I want to encourage you, if you are on the fence and not plugged in and letting the Lord work through you and your time and your talents, this is the place that God has for you. And this is the season for you to get planted and allow the goodness of God to be at work in you so you can bless many, many other people through what the Lord has entrusted in your life. I want to invite you to look with me in the Word of God today to 2 Samuel chapter 9, the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 9. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning about feasting at the table of grace. There is a table full of the goodness and the grace of God that He has prepared for you. And it's up to you whether you receive your invitation to receive what He has for you or not. In ancient times, when one king would overthrow another, those who were loyal to the new king would typically kill anybody who was loyal to the former regime that they thought might pose a threat of uprising. And that's exactly what happened after the death of King Saul, who was the first king of Israel. A war broke out between the house of Saul and the house of David that lasted for some years. And then eventually, power centralized around King David. And with that background, we pick up our reading in 2 Samuel chapter 9. It says, David says, "Is there any still left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan, but he is crippled in his feet." And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel at Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" David asks that question, is there any left of the house of Saul, because they'd all been eradicated? Have we killed everybody, or is there perhaps anybody left that had been in hiding somewhere? And Ziba, a former servant of the house of Saul, says, "Well, according to our records, there's only one person left. But listen, King David, you really shouldn't have any regard for him. He's a person of no consequence. You want to show kindness and you want to be benevolent and you want to be generous. You would be wasting it on this guy. He's not someone that can receive the generosity and the kindness of the king and go do something with it. He's not going to receive a demonstration of grace and benevolence and go live a worthwhile life that becomes a billboard of the grace of the king. It would be wasteful for you to be gracious and kind to this guy. There are so many other people that would be gracious. I would encourage you to think differently about this guy, because it would just be bad stewardship to be kind to him. What are you talking about? Well,
King David, you need to know this. He's broken. He's crippled. He can't fend for himself. This is a guy who's so broken, he just crawls across the floor. He can't stand. He can't run. He can't take care of himself. King David, this guy is broken. We all know how broken he is. He has a reputation of brokenness. His life is a mess. And not only that, King David, his name is Mephibosheth. That name doesn't mean anything to you and I today, but when they said Mephibosheth, the name Mephibosheth means mouth of shame. His very name is shameful. David, he has a reputation. He's known for his brokenness. His life from the beginning, from the time he was a child, he's had a name that you don't want to hang out with him. Other kids weren't allowed to play with him because when they hung out with him, they come back home acting like he acts. Y'all probably don't know anybody like that. I got news for you. If you don't know anybody like that, you were the one we weren't allowed to play with. Yeah. David, he's been known his whole life as a messed up, broken guy whose shame is attached to him. It follows him wherever he goes. I'm going to use a term to describe him that's an Eastern Kentucky term. Y'all probably don't know it here in the booming metropolis of Columbia. But janky. Anybody know the name, the word janky? Mephibosheth was janky. He's just always been that from the time he was here. He's broken. He's messed up. He's shameful. He smells bad. Trouble follows him wherever he goes. He can't do anything for himself. He's dependent. He's needy. He's just, ain't nothing gonna happen. King David, you want somebody that when you show goodness and kindness to him, they're going to take it and make something of their life. Mephibosheth can't make anything with his life. What are you doing, wasting your generosity on this guy? Not only is he broken, not only is he a mess, not only is he shameful, but he lives in Lodabar. Now, the word Lodabar means no pasture, without pasture. There's nothing green growing there. There's no life. There's no vegetation. There's nothing happening there. It's a barren wilderness. There's no hope there. They're not sowing in anticipation of a harvest. They're not looking forward to spring or looking forward to fall. There's nothing growing there. There's no life there. The secondary meaning of Lodabar means no word. That when a prophetic word would come from God, it didn't reach there. It's outside the realm of where God's word is speaking. There's nothing happening there. And this guy who's so broken and so shameful and so janky, that's where he's living. He's living in a cut-off, God-forsaken land. Ain't nothing going on there. You don't need to be thinking about Mephibosheth. And here's all the reasons why it ain't wise for you to be good and gracious and kind to him. And I want to tell you today, there's someone called the accuser of the brethren that is doing the same thing about you and I. Here's all the reasons why you would be a bad idea for God to be gracious to. Here's all the reasons why it would be wasteful for God to be kind and gracious to you. Here's your history, your resume, your pedigree. Here's who your daddy was. Here's who your daddy wasn't. Here's who your mama was. You didn't do this. Don't they know what you did in seventh grade? Don't they know what your reputation was in high school? Don't they know what people are saying about you on Facebook? It wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be wise, King Jesus, for you to show your grace and your benevolence to those people in South Central Kentucky because they ain't going to do nothing with it. They're not going to live a life of any kind of reputation. They're not going to be a good billboard for the goodness of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There are other people in other places that would take the goodness of God and do something more worthwhile with it. Don't waste your grace on them. And David hears this report about Mephibosheth, and he still says, go get him. Send the chariot, the fastest one you have, and go to the farthest distance of Lodabar, and do not stop until you find him and bring him to me. Friend, you and I can be here this morning in this beautiful auditorium and hear the sounds of worship and lift our voice and lift our hands and add our sound to that of angels, simply because when we are cut off and far from God and we are without a people and our name is that of broken and sin and rebellion, God doesn't listen to the accuser of the brethren pleading the case for why we shouldn't be atoned and have his grace, but he still sends for us and calls for us to come to his table. Ziba goes to that wilderness, that barren land, and he doesn't stop knocking on doors until he finds Mephibosheth, and he reaches down and he brings him up, puts him in the chariot, and takes him all the way back to David. Now put yourself in Mephibosheth's shoes. Everybody you've ever known is dead because they rebelled against the new king, God's chosen, God's anointed. You thought you escaped the sword, and now you've been found, and you're brought before the king. You're expecting death. And instead, you hear David say these words, I will show kindness to you. Ain't nobody ever shown me kindness. Anybody looks at me and they sees my condition. They see my mess. They look at me and they see where I've been, what I've done, where I come from. They look at me and they see my mugshot. They look at me and they see the track marks. They look at me and they see how many times I failed in rehab. They look at me and they see my mama. They see my daddy. They look at me and they see pity. They look at me and they remember who I was when I was 21. They look at me and they see my yesterdays. Don't nobody look at me and say, I want to be kind to you. They look at me and think, I'm better than you. They look at me and say, I ain't perfect, but at least I ain't Mephibosheth. They look at me and they say, thank God that I ain't like that. Thank God that my mama loved me more than that. Thank God that my life turned out better than that. And you're telling me you're going to show kindness to me? What does that even mean? When David said, I'm going to show loving kindness to you, it is the Hebrew word chesed. And that's the same word that we see it show up in the book of Exodus chapter 34 when God tells Moses, he says, Moses, I'm going to speak my name over you. You can't see my glory and live, but here's what I'll do, Moses. I'll speak my name over you. And in Exodus 34, the Lord says this about himself. Here's how God revealed himself. He said, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Abounding in steadfast love. I ain't about to run out of love anytime soon. There's not going to be a Black Friday sale on the love of God. There's not a clearance sale on the love of God. We're not hoarding it back in the event of COVID or the next millennium. I am abounding in steadfast love. You can be at your worst. You can be in rebellion. You can backslide. You can be a prodigal in the far country. You can be stupid and selfish and sinful. I still got all the love that you're ever going to need that I'll have for you. I've got so much love I can send to Lodabar and get Mephibosheth. I can say to Simon Peter, do you still love me? Feed my sheep. I've got all the love that you're ever going to need, and it's not going to run dry, and it's not going to run out. I am abounding in steadfast love. That's what Mephibosheth heard. When David said, I will show kindness to you, he heard what he had been told from his daddy, Jonathan. He heard what he'd been told about Saul. He heard what he overheard the prophet Samuel say about what God said to Moses. And when David said, I will show kindness to you, It's the loving kindness of God that never runs out. I'm going to be kind to you, Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth has got to be thinking, why? I ain't ever done anything to deserve it. My family hasn't been kind to you, David. I feel the presence of God in here, this room. Why would you be kind to me, King? My family hasn't been kind to you. My granddaddy threw javelins at you. You lived a man on the run. You had to pretend to be insane living amongst the Philistines because of my family. I ain't ever done anything to benefit you. I can't do anything to benefit you. Why would you be kind to me when I don't deserve it? And here's what David says to him. My grace to you isn't dependent on you. It's not because of you. I determined to be kind to you before you were ever born. There was a covenant that was made before you were ever on this earth. And I am honoring a covenant that doesn't have anything to do with you. I am honoring a covenant that my blood entered into, that I determined before you ever sinned. I determined before you were broken. I determined before your name was made to be shameful, that if you ever opened your eyes on this planet, I would show loving kindness to you. So understand something. You can reject my loving kindness, but you can't ever earn my loving kindness, because I determined that this moment was going to happen before you ever drew breath on this earth. Somebody needs to hear this Sunday morning in the middle of July. God is going to be good and kind and generous and loving to you, not because of you, not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, not because you woke up and decided to get pretty and go to church today, but God's going to be good to you because 2,000 years ago, he entered into a covenant with himself on the old rugged cross at a place called Calvary, and his sinless blood ran down the side of that timber, and he said, I will be good and loving to all those who may be afar off and the Lord our God should call. And today, you can reject it, but you cannot earn it. David said, you're going to come to my table and you're going to eat like one of mine. You're not going to beg for scraps anymore. You're not going to hope something good happens to you so you can have 15 minutes of happiness. You're not going to scrape around and try and get your next drink or your next hit so you can escape from the pain of your existence. Those days are over. I got a chair with your name on it, Mephibosheth. You come here and you live like a king's kid. There's a term that's real popular right now, Nepo baby. Yeah, they have what they have from nepotism. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm a king's kid, and I ain't ashamed to be a Nepo baby. I didn't earn none of who I am. It ain't my work ethic. It ain't my intelligence. It ain't my education. I am who I am 100% because of who my daddy is. He went ahead of me. He raised up the valleys. He lowered the mountains. He opened doors no man can shut, and he shut doors that no man can open. I am proud to say I'm 100% a Nepo baby. I am a king's kid and proud of it. You can be a self-made man and a self-made woman. I'm glad to be God's Nepo baby. He said, Mephibosheth, everything I eat, you're going to eat. You're not going to live by your own hand anymore. You're going to live from my hand. You'll never lack. You'll never need. And your identity is changed. Because when you come and sit at the king's table, your brokenness is concealed under the table. That when you look around and you lock eyes with all the other children of the king, we're all equal right here. in this room right here, we're all equal. We have our brokenness, we have our issues, we have our past, we have our trauma, we have all of our challenges, but it's all hidden underneath the King's table. We're all one and we're all the same. He said, come and sit at my table. What do you do if you're Mephibosheth in that moment? How do you respond? See, all of us that are here this morning, that invitation's going out to you. You can come and find your seat at the King's table. You don't have to live in Lodabar anymore. You don't have to live identified by your brokenness and your shame anymore. There's a summons that's went out for you to come and take your place. But how do you respond? Here's what Mephibosheth does that you and I must do. Mephibosheth rightly identified himself. I love this. Mephibosheth says in 2 Samuel 9, verse 8, he says, I'm just a dead dog. Why are you doing this to me? I'm just a dead dog. He says, here's who I am. I'm a dog. Now, a dog then is not what a dog is to us today. A dog to us today, we call it our fur babies. We put clothes on it. Some of y'all's dogs is better dressed than any of your family members. We've got an outfit for every season and every occasion. We have to put umbrellas over our dog's head lest they get wet. They're going to go in the house and lick the toilet. We take our dogs to the grocery store, not because it's our emotional support animal, just because. We let them pick out. It's toys. Dogs are different now. But in that time, when Mephibosheth says this, dogs were feral scavengers. They ate trash. They didn't come and sleep in the bed. They slept outside. That's what they were. And so when Mephibosheth says, I'm a dog, it was a term of insult. And here's the power in what Mephibosheth is saying. Mephibosheth is saying, listen, David, everything you've heard about me is true. I'm a dog. He doesn't try and defend himself. He doesn't try and make excuses. Mephibosheth doesn't get in front of the presence of the king and say, listen, I've been misrepresented. I got some haters that are drinking the haterade and they're telling you all these things about me. It's exaggerated. It's not all accurate. You can't believe everything you read online. I ain't as bad as all that. If you get to know me, you would see that I'm a really rather lovely individual. And I know you think you're showing me goodness and grace, but if you allow me to come in here, I'll actually be helpful to you. I'll be doing you a favor. I've got some skills. I have a special set of skills. None of that. He doesn't try and defend himself. He says, I'm a dog. There's nothing good in me. I am broken. I am shameful. And I have been living far from God. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your kindness. Understand this morning, church. You can't receive God's grace and justify yourself at the same time. And some of you here this morning, wonderful, incredible people, but you're not feasting on the grace of God because you're still trying to excuse and justify your past. Well, if you knew what I knew, if you had been through what I've been through, you probably would have done the same thing. Maybe you're probably right, and it just may be that I would have done something far worse. But when I'm standing before a holy God, I can't feast on his grace while I try and excuse and explain away and justify my sin. The way to begin to receive the grace of God is to agree with your sinfulness. I am just a dog, and I don't deserve it. And then Mephibosheth rightly states his allegiance. He says, I am your servant. I know I come from a long line of people who hated you, King David. I know my family rebelled against you. I know my family resisted you. I know everybody probably thinks that I'm just like my granddaddy. I'm just like my uncles, and I'm just like my cousins, and they all resisted and rebelled and ran hard and fought against you. But I don't want there to be any cloud of confusion. I don't want there to be any question mark as to my allegiance. Record it here in heaven and earth this day that I am a servant of the King, and the rest of my life will gladly be spent in service to the one who found me in the wilderness. I do not belong. My identity is not wrapped up in who I was. My identity is now belonging to you. How do you respond to the grace of God? Friend, there's only one proper way, and that's to say, I will spend all of my remaining days giving my life in service to the one who found me in my Lodabar, who when I was far from God and broken and ashamed, he brought me close to himself and fed me at his table. That there's no question to my loyalty. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Anybody in this room right now that know that God's been good to you? What do you do because of that? You do what Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. Here's my hands and here's my feet. I'm not going to say, and I'm not going to sing a song that thanks him for bringing me out of the wilderness and then walk out of that room and go back about my life as if it did not happen. If I am Mephibosheth, I will gladly pour out all of my life in service to the one who rescued me. How do you respond to grace? You rightfully state your identity, and you rightfully declare your allegiance. We're going to pray here in just a moment, but I want you to hear me. The Spirit of God is searching the hearts this morning. He knows where you are. He knows those among us this morning that are living in your own Lodabar. There's no life. There's no hope. Nothing growing, nothing green. And you're far from God. There's brokenness and shame in your life. We're all there. We've all been there. But God in his goodness meets us and comes to us, speaks our name, and he says, where you've been is not who you are, and you don't have to stay there anymore. There's a seat with your name on it, and you can come. That invitation is going out right now to you. Can you bow your heads with me? Holy Spirit, we hear your call. We receive your invitation. And we move out of Lodabar right now and come to the table. In Jesus' name.